Here we go. Our gadget man is here, Matt Porter from Matt Porter Web Design in Walderingfield. Grizzled and grumbled when he got in the studio. He says, I hate driving through Ipswich. It's not that bad, is it?
No, it's fine. It's fine.
Are you chilled now?
Well, a little bit now, yeah. Now it's a bit cooler in here than it was outside. But, yeah, people's sense of urgency seems to be turned down to two at the moment on their dials.
Anyway, nice to see you.
You as well.
Now, you've got... we're going to talk about Yo and Owls in a moment or two. Yo is an app, and Owls, of course, was the Labour Party's hacked Twitter feed. But you've got another watch.
Yes.
Smartwatch last week you were talking about, which was the...
Samsung Gear 2.
Okay,
liked. Which I did like, and that's now sitting back in Samsung's office on their desk.
And you had most fun switching people's televisions on and off.
Yes, yeah, it was very good. In fact, Samsung listened to the show and said that they said to me, if we could let you have the watch, Matt, we really would, but we can't. So that was a bit of a shame.
But so just on trial. I mean, it's interesting because technology is moving on apace all the time, isn't it?
Yes.
And part and parcel of this every week is not just to give you some suggested apps and things which we'll continue with, but also just look at some of the new technology that's coming out. So you've got some more stuff to try.
Yeah, today I have, or the last week, since last week, I've been wearing Sony's smartwatch, which is called Sony Smartwatch 2. Completely different beast to the Samsung Gear. It's really geared as a more of a usable watch rather than a flash gadget, you know. So it is noticeably, feels noticeably, I was going to say cheaper, but that would be criticising Sony, but lower cost.
Yeah.
Its functionality is much lower than the Samsung, but it has quite a nice feature, which is the display on it. It has a display that lights up, but the display technology apparently is called trans-reflective, which means that natural light or sunlight will illuminate it when it goes off, so you can read it in bright sunlight. You don't get the reflection problem that you get with mobile phones and other watches where it's displaying. So it's got quite nice...
So they've chosen probably to limit the amount of gizmos in there then?
It has still got lots and lots of applications, so it can notify you when you have email, when you have tweets, when you have calendar reminders, the World Cup. It will tell you the scores live. It's Facebook.
Still going, the World Cup? Is it still on?
yes, it is. One of the things I found a little bit frustrating is setting it up. Biggest problem of all was they've tried to be clever with it, and what they've done is on the watch and the phone that they supplied me, it has a technology called NFC. Now, back in my day, NFC was the National Freight Corporation, who owned Pickfords, I believe. But nowadays, it stands for Near Field Communication, which is very similar to what contactless payments use on credit cards. So what they say you have to do is you simply take your watch and your phone and you touch them together.
Right.
And it will then they'll talk to each other and then you're synchronised and ready to go. I found that a little bit hit and miss to start off with, because you have to, there is actually on the back of a phone, there is actually a little square that says that's where the NFC tag is, and on the back of the watch there is as well, and you have to get them quite close together, hence the term near field communication.
Yeah.
So as long as you connect them together, and it won't go off because I've turned the volume down, it will make a boop, 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 boop noise, and you know that you've got a connection. Then it has to download software onto the phone. So the whole setting up was a little bit frustrating. But once it's set up and you haven't just worn something that's massively more flash and high resolution, then I'm sure you'd be very happy with it as a watch. Build quality is not quite as good. I did notice this morning that, you know, that it doesn't feel quite as high end, but it's a lot cheaper. I think they're £130, £140. So it's a lot cheaper option. Does require a mobile phone like the Gear 2. So you have to have a phone in order to make use of it. But there you go.
So if you're in a meeting or something and you've got your phone in your pocket, and you know, it's just, you don't take your phone out really, or shouldn't take your phone out and have a look at it. But you could surreptitiously have a look at your watch, couldn't you?
The watch has vibration on it. It will vibrate, and it vibrates quite noticeably as well. So And if you're not careful, if you have it set up to synchronise my or so Facebook and all those things, you find the things constantly going boof, 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 on your wrist, and it also displays that as it vibrates, it will then show a notification. So today it said App of the Week, and then I knew I needed to jump in my car. So
excellent.
Yes. So there you go. That was the Sony Smartwatch 2.
And you also have a phone there, don't you?
I have a couple of phones. Yes. What I'm looking at doing is looking how mobile phones can replace cameras. So obviously they have cameras in them, but they're not the same as having a professional camera. So I'm looking at a couple of phones which have, or supposedly have, high-end cameras in them.
It's interesting because I've got an iPhone that I use, an Apple iPhone, and I take loads of pictures on it. I mean, it's just so easy, isn't it? You've got a camera with you out at 24/7 now.
Yeah.
But actually, when you crunch down, the quality is not that good.
Yeah.
If you start to sort of use the zoom and things.
Yes. When you're into digital zoom, then you've got problems because you lose quality very quickly. The two phones that I'm looking at the moment, one of them is called the HTC One M8, which has two cameras on the back. One of them is the main camera and the other is a distance camera.
Okay, we're going to look at those in detail in a moment or two. So if you're looking to buy a phone, because people do now buy it with a view to how good the camera is as well, we'll compare those two in a moment or two. But time for some travel news first.
Travel news from BBC Radio Suffolk.
And Charlotte's here with all the details for us. Hi, Charlotte.
Hi, Mark. Well, the A12 in Farnham has long delays. That's near Mill Lane because of the roadworks there. Heading northbound, the queue's about 2 miles long at the moment, and southbound, it's at least a mile long. And in Keswick, Low Road is closed. That's because of an incident between Keswick Road and the B1113. And on the A1066 in Diss, one lane has closed there. That's for roadworks near Saw Mills Road. There's nothing to report on the trains. That's the latest from BBC Radio Suffolk Travel.
Check for updates before you travel at bbc.co.uk/Suffolk.
So, how good's your camera phone? And increasingly, people want a good camera on the phone. And increasingly, the phones are getting bigger again. There was a time when they were tiny, almost the size of a matchbox. Do you remember those?
That's right, yeah.
They got smaller and smaller and smaller. And now they're getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Not quite the old Dom Jolly look walking around
not
with
quite.
One by your ear, but heading that way.
No, you're absolutely right that people now, it's been discovered through selling larger displays that people actually do want them.
Well, you can see it down so easily,
you can see them and you can play video on them at a reasonable size. And just generally the media consumption that you can do using a larger screen, reading e-books and things like that. So the two I've got is one is a 5-inch screen, which is about standard now for non-iPhones, and the other one is a Nokia phone, which is 6-inch, which is very, very big.
That's huge compared to an iPhone, for instance. It's almost twice the size.
It is. It's massive. Yeah. It's a full HD screen. It's lovely, lovely screen. But what's nice about it is with these is the camera. So it has a 20-megapixel PureView camera, which gives you very, very good quality photographs, and you can zoom into them because they're higher resolution. The other one I'm looking at is the HTC One M8, which has two cameras. One is the, one is the normal camera, which is called an ultra-pixel camera, not megapixel, and it also has a depth sensor. So what happens is when you take a photograph of something...
Can you actually make a call on that, by the way?
You can,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, just checking.
You can take a photograph, and then I can look at the photo, and I can then adjust, and I've got a blurred one, I can then adjust the blur. So I can blur out the background, blur out the foreground, but there is actually quite a nice little feature on here where I can actually look at something, give a 3D view. So you can see when I just move the camera.
Me into 3D.
Yeah, which is only good for the camera, for the phone to look at it. But the blur is called U-Focus. The Nokia has the same idea, but it takes 5 or 6 photos at different focal lengths, and then
so
you can
try
blur.
These over the next few days?
Yeah, I'm looking at them at the moment, okay. So next week I should come back and tell you which I believe's the best, maybe, but whether I think they are a viable replacement for a camera.
Okay. And just before you go, Yo is an app that Darren, who's part of the production team here, is intrigued about, and he's reading about this at the weekend. It's just Y-O, isn't it? Yo.
Yo, yes, that's yo. Right, yeah.
What does it do?
It sends a message to your friend saying yo. That's all it does.
Is that it?
Yes, it's what's called a pointless app, I believe. It just sends yo to somebody else. But apparently, regardless of how pointless it is, it has apparently received $1 million of investment.
Really?
Yes.
Yo.
As these things are very, very popular, it most probably has some kind of advertising built into it, and that's where the money for the app becomes, you know, it starts generating its own money. What has happened in the last few days, however, is that a security bug was found in it, which meant that you can, if you know what you're doing, go in and find the mobile phone number of somebody that you're trying to talk to. Or in this case, someone was able to get in the mobile phone number of the author of the app and text them and say, you've got a security flaw in your app. Right. So and they actually called them back. So that was interesting. But that was, you know, not everybody's going to be able to do that, but I guess if the instructions were put up on the internet, then anybody could.
Good, yeah.
So there is a bit of a security bug in it that is meant to be being investigated at the moment. But okay. It's a pointless app, as many of these apps appear to most people anyway.
Well, I had a nice one for a while, which was toilet noises. Toilet flushes.
Right.
I don't know why I was intrigued by that, but yeah. the sound of a flushing toilet.
Have you seen the iPint?
No. Oh, yes, I have, yes. Where virtual pint.
Where you tip your phone glass, and it's as if you're drinking a pint.
If you know any pointless apps, then do get in touch with us. Matt, thank you very much. Any apps at all that you love, let us know. We'll feature them on App of the Week.